There's a, in terms of appreciating the need, in other words, I guess you could say that Shir HaShirim, the learning of Shir HaShirim is about developing an appreciation for the nuances of love in the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because really, you know, you could end the whole thing with just saying, I love you and you love me, fine, everything is wonderful. Hollywood would be out of business if you just said that, and the world would be a very cold place. You know? I love you. You know, like I make fun of, but I am very turned off when I hear people talk on the phone to a child or a spouse and love you. Like, you know, there's nothing there. You know? It used to be, love meant a love letter. Love meant a speech, a statement.
You wouldn't say it on the phone in that fashion.
It's cheap. Love you.
Your mama wouldn't say.
It's like saying, "How you doing?" And no, but not waiting for an answer. You know, how are you today? Oh, you know.
That is what we do.
Okay, that doesn't mean anything, you know.
Wow.
Hi, how you doing? How are you today? Or you go to the supermarket, the checkout, where they train them for 3 weeks before they start working there. Hi, how are you today? Like, you know, so it's cheap. So therefore, every nuance that we can appreciate, I think, makes a difference in terms of the development of that love, and therefore the importance that we attribute to that love can make a difference in terms of the motivation to develop the nuances. Okay? That having been said, when Moshe Rabbeinu complains to Hashem about Klal Yisrael's complaint for Bosor in this parasha, Baal Yisro, so he says, "Ve'enuchi harisei som hazeh, ve'enuchi l'detiu." So the Sipurim says like this, "Hinei ho'ov." Did I give birth to them? So he says like this. The father, Yuchala Hanigas, born of Alpha Bishem Chaluke Adeus. A father can lead his children even though there's differences of thinking between the father and the son. What?
What are you reading?
Sipurno. Sipurno Pashas Baloisro. Onoichi Horisi. He says, even though there's different days, says he could lead the children. Why? Vizeki kulam choishvim oisoile oihev shiyishtado bekol koichoile hatif lahem. Because they all think that he is a lover, one who loves them, that will try with all of his koichas to do good for them. That's what everybody knows about a father. Mimela, he can lead. Aval ele, einom boitchim biklal. They don't trust me at all. V'chishtim umenasim lirois ma'es alehem. They're suspicious and they're testing to see what will I do for them. So if you put this in context, you see something very, very powerful, I believe. Moshe Rabbeinu was proven time and again in his dedication and commitment to Klal Yisrael. From the early days when he put himself in Sakona to go to the house of Paroi, Paroi could have shot him dead when he walks in and said, "Hey, we're taking your slaves out of Mitzrayim." You know, like he put himself in Sakona. He did everything for them, you know, and the same thing, he led them and on the Yam Suf. And he was a dedicated leader. Later on, in this very parasha, which didn't happen yet, but it was the same Moshe that they must have known, he says, "I want you to appoint a Sipurna learned scribe. I want you to appoint a shutuf with me, who they will trust more. Somebody who maybe I don't know how they're going to trust somebody more, but he felt they didn't trust him. So he says, and if not, and if because of my COVID, you're hesitant to appoint a shutuf because you want Moshe Rabbeinu to be the only one, hargeni no haroi, kill me. I'd rather val erabirosi. I don't want to see this." I can't bear to see the Klal Yisrael in such a massif. If you, because of my covet, refuse to appoint an associate together with me, just get rid of me. I had enough of this business. So you see such dedication. And yet, they weren't sure. He wasn't the natural father. So what was lacking? So there was clearly indications of Moshe Rabbeinu's love and commitment and dedication to Klal Yisrael. But since he wasn't the natural father, there was something ever so slight missing in that connection, that they couldn't rely 100,000%. He says, they couldn't be sure that he was bekol koich lehitiv lehem. Aval ele einam boitchem bi klal. They have no trust in me. I would have said, if I'm lacking a little bit of appreciation of the fullest extent of your love, so then I would be lacking somewhat in my ability to trust you to the degree, you know, commensurate with the degree that I'm lacking in appreciation of how much you love me. So to that degree, I feel uncomfortable. I can't really trust. But Sipurna says, they're not sure 100% what I would do for them if my love being as natural, as universal, as the love of a father. And therefore, einam b'itchem b'klal. They have no trust in me whatsoever. So we see something very interesting. That a nuance, an iota. I don't know how many iotas it was. I'm not sure what an iota is either. But whatever it is, something that might be lacking in the appreciation of the love and therefore the commitment to do anything for us that someone might have, creates a matzav so disillusioning, so painful, so...
This isn't a good message.
What?
This isn't a good message.
Well, let me finish the message first, and then they'll destroy it. Yeah? So as, to the extent that what? That I can't have any trust. Now, if that's the case, so what's my message first? Okay, I mean the
wait, like, how do you know the Jews were they knew about his love and they just they
were, so that's pushing
their attitude was just like it became like they developed like a bad
no,
attitude.
But no, first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say that. He says Anochi Harisi. He says Ha'ov Yuchal. He says Dechoshnos Aloyev Shishtal B'Kol Koychel Heitiv Lehem. What am I lacking? I'm lacking that confidence that I'd be Mishtal B'Kol Koychi. That's all he's lacking. The love of Moshe Rabbeinu must have come through. Everything he did for them, his dedication, his commitment. The man who 2 minutes later is going to say, kill me if you can't lead them properly, certainly that love must have been understood by them. They weren't stupid. They, you know, it's the only thing is there's something lacking. And he says what was lacking. Because I wasn't I'm not the birth father. I'm not the natural father. So I'm lacking just that universal teva that I love behechrach. But certainly they knew his love. So I say that slight lack causes a matzav einam b'itchem b'klal. So what I mean to say is as follows. If we want to underscore the importance of Shir HaShirim and of deepening that relationship and appreciating the extent to which Hashem loves Klal Yisrael, then we should realize that that's critical not only for that level of responsibility and feeling good and you know the good feeling that it gives us that we have this close love relationship, and not only for that validation that how choshev I feel that the Bir Yoilam loves me to such an extent, but every nuance of the extent of that love will make the critical difference in whether I can trust him. Now, bitochen is where it's at. With bitochen, we could be masik the world. The Goyin writes that the Iker Nesinas HaTorah LiYisrael was Kedei Sheyiftechu B'Hashem. The Iker of the giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael was that they should be able to trust in Hashem. That's the tachlis of everything. If that's the case, by the way, I might be able, maybe not even homiletically, just as a pshat, to say pshat. And that's what it means. Shelohoyo Olam Kedei Kiyom Shnitin Bo Shir HaShirim. But Rashi brings the Chazal. The world was never as kedai that the day Shir HaShirim was given. Why? Because you say, what about the Nesinas HaTorah? So some there, the Nuschos, it's mashma as the other Megillus, just, but the Olam Kedai is the Olam Kedai, Kiyom Shnitin, but that seems that Kodesh Kodosh, Kol HaShirim Kodesh, that seems to be maybe only compared to the other things. Something called Aksuvim Kodesh, there's different Girsois, that's what I mean. But the Olam Kedai, the Teres is like this. Without the Shir HaShirim, the Kabbalah Satorah is compromised. Because the ego of the Kabbalah Satorah was Kedeshia Simu Belikim Kislam, that they should be able to put their trust in Hashem.
That was the point of the Torah.
That's what the Goyin says, Iker Nes, I'm quoting from Mishlei, the Goyin in Mishlei, Iker Nesinas HaTorah LiYisrael, who? Kedeshia Simu Belikim Kislam, because it's on that posuk. Yosimu Belikim Kislam, and that means to put their trust in Hashem. That's the Iker Nesinas. Now, if that's the case, so look at this. If we are missing a nuance in the love of that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael, if we wouldn't know to what extent He loves us, so then would be Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ein abaytcha biklal." So the lack of love undermines Kol HaTorah.
Very good. Very nice. First of all,
yeah, now you still want to destroy this?
Yeah, in a minute. But first,
really, after all this, wow.
But when it says Lo Haya Kedai Holam Kedai, that's saying the giving of Shir HaShirim or the It just means the essence of it, the fact
basically,
that there's such...
Shenitin, but no, the day, I guess the most chosh of the day was the day Shirash Yom was...
But in your pshat, it would just mean, not. You don't need the physical book.
Well, that was the day that this was...
No, but you
this...
don't need the physical book. It's just the fact that that's the kind of relationship
okay,
that does
okay,
it.
Maybe,
I'm just
you,
pointing out.
Yeah, but the real pshat in that is, I think there's a Zohar, I think we may have mentioned it once, the Zohar says, what's the Yom Kishenitin bo Shirash Yom? When the Beis HaMikdash was completed, Shlomo HaMelech completed the Beis HaMikdash, that's what he wrote. He wrote Shirash Shirim on that day. That was the day of that he gave Shirash Shirim, the day the Beis HaMikdash was completed, and that he says was the tachlis, because the tachlis of creation, Klal Yisrael, should have a Beis HaMikdash, be able to serve Hashem in the closest way, and this is the ultimate of the this is the tachlis habriya. So, my son asked the question. He said, L'chira, Shirashim talks about the estranged matzav of Klal Yisrael. It's Klal Yisrael in the Golus. Klal Yisrael having been estranged and sent out and sinned and Avol Pikein, the relationship and this, the whole business. That's not the finest moment. The finest moment is the Beis HaMikdash. He should have written about the Beis HaMikdash, but we finally reached the ultimate fulfillment.
Zohar
says this was the Binyan Beis HaMikdash was like the completion of the Tachlis of the Bria. And now Klal Yisrael has a place for also the mikdash shachanti b'soichom that they can have the ultimate connection to Hashem. Fine. So that's the case. Says, why this? He said, portion. He says, what's the greatest expression of the love of Hashem, the loving relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem? Its ability to weather the storm of the Golus. Despite what happens, despite the fact that we sin, despite the fact that he had to chase us out, despite the fact that he's only behester ponim and Klal Yisrael continues to sin in the base, HaMikdash can't be rebuilt. Oh, but that love is still there. That's the ultimate expression of love. The ultimate expression of love is not the love under the chuppah when everything is so beautiful. The ultimate expression of love is when it's tested time and again, and it's time resistant, and it still remains that complete connection despite the fact that so much else is transpired.
So now I just want to go back to the earlier point about it undermines the bitachon if there's a chesaron in the love. It's setting a very high standard. Imagine if your students related to you this way. If they had a bit of a chesaron, oh, maybe Rabbi Cohen doesn't love me, it'll undermine the whole relationship. Or if that's somebody with their parents or with their... And this is... The relationship with Hashem is based on relationships with people.
So what should I do?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I could rip out the Sipurna, but what about the Sipurna on the other side?
You just shouldn't say it over. But don't you hear what I'm saying?
Certainly hear what you're saying.
It's not a simple
When I said it over, I think Shalashudas, I just happened to say this, and it caused a bit of a ruckus. But I'll tell you, my
for the same reason it caused a ruckus?
Yeah, the same basic question. Like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
Here it is.
What is it?
Yeah. Here it is. You read it inside. What are we supposed to? I say like this. I say, listen, that's true, but the truth of the matter is like this. We're talking about the Dor Dea, whose capabilities for love were infinite, whose ability to trust was commensurate with that, and we're talking on a different level. On all level, the watered down to future generations. I think the message is as follows. To the degree.
Wait, hang on. What was exactly the problem? They lacked in, like.
They lacked the ultimate belief of the extent of Moshe Rabbeinu's love. They weren't. If he would have been their father, then they would know that for sure he loves them because it's natural. It's a universal midah, love of a parent to a child.
Right, this psychology that you have to.
Since he wasn't this, he wasn't their natural father. He says they're not sure to what extent I'm willing to go for them. How deep is my love? And because of that, there's a problem with their bitoch. They don't trust me 100%. He says ain't a bitcha biklal.
There has to be some level of like realization of the person, like. Some level at that point, that's where you can trust him.
Yeah, so in other words, I say like this, that you see clearly from here one thing. To the degree that we can convince our children, our talmidim, whatever it may be, that we're committed for them, that we're there for them, that we love them, that we care, we'll go to the end of the earth for them, it's to that degree that they will trust. And when something is lacking in
that's not
that... I know, but so good. So when something is lacking in that, it may, I wouldn't say always, maybe in this case, it doesn't mean in all cases, but it may very well be the undoing of the trust completely. We have to realize that we have to go to the extent of so far to assure the awareness of that love, because otherwise we endanger or we allow the possibility that it could be completely, the trust could be completely gone.
I can't, how is it possible that there are inputs to the cloud? How does that work?
Well, I guess that on their level, if they're lacking in some measure of bitochen that they're capable, you know, I assume what it means, it's for them, it's considered like it's nothing at all. That's always when you deal with the Dordea. For them, it's as if they have no trust in. Of course, they have trust in Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's on their level, they are so capable of so much trust. They should be having such a trust, especially in a Moshe Rabbeinu, that it's as if Eina Boitcha Miklal, it's as if it doesn't exist. What?
That only because their Dordea works like that? It's not like a
I guess their all of their midas are judged on a higher level. They're expected a more intensive trust in the leader than we could ever imagine. They're expected the leader is expected a deeper love than anything we could imagine. It's all on a whole different level. So I assume on that level that even though they knew how much Moshe Rabbeinu loved them, but since there was a dakis of lack of conviction about how far that love would go. For their level, that was considered like...
their level, though.
What? What's that?
Their level. If it's like a thing, that's how it works. If you don't realize how much a person... Like, you don't think a person loves you fully, you can't trust them. It doesn't do what level you're on.
No, what do you mean? No, but the level of love and the level of trust is different for people. What do you mean? If the love that Moshe Rabbeinu had for Klal Yisrael, we can't even imagine it, let alone have it. There's no shaykhus to it. There's no shaykhus. The most loving relationship in the world doesn't touch... The v'havtel reicho kamoicha of Reb Chatzkel Sarna, very interesting. Reb Shaya Goldschmidt was a dayan in Pesach Tikva, I think, many years ago. So he told Petach Tikva, excuse me. Those days were still Pesach Tikva. You hear?
Really?
So I don't know. Anyway, so he told me that he was once walking along with Reb Chatzkel Sarna, and we're talking, and Chatzkel says, Chatzkel Sarna was such a Baal Musar, and he says, we're the Baalei Musar, you know, like the Baalei Musar, the big shots, the Baalei Musar. He says, our love for Bein Olam HaChaveiro, for a fellow Jew, doesn't begin to come near to the love Reb Chaim Briska had for a Poshet Yid. He says, with all our Musar, he says, we don't even begin to get close to what Reb Chaim had naturally. Reb Chaim was not from the Baalei Musar. It was just a natural. They used to drop off babies at his house. People, unwanted children, it was known. You have an unwanted child? Drop it off on his doorstep.
What?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess they dropped it off at his doorstep. He made sure that the child was
there. I saw a story about I was reading this little book about Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yashav Berg.
Yeah.
So apparently he had a lot of sheikhs when he was in Berlin to somebody named Yaakov Groner. Who studied under Rav Chaim, and this guy was a genius, but then he became a maskil, and he studied with Einstein.
No.
So he says, Einstein was a very moral man, he was very well respected. He said, Rav Chaim had more chesed in his pinky than Einstein had in his heart or brain. It was a cute line.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. You know,
anyway.
This guy did like all of Einstein's mathematics for him.
I mean, Einstein really didn't know math at all.
He said Einstein's godless wasn't math.
Yeah.
He said it was his intuition, his creativity. He knew this stuff well, but he didn't do like the...
Mm-hmm. All right. Whatever. Anyway, so good. So just that. So I think, I mean, it is. You're right. It is a hard concept. But I assume that what it means is that commensurately on any level, to whatever degree we perceive that love is lacking... It's to that degree that it creates a sakona for the entire ability to trust. Maybe the pshat is that trust is. Maybe the pshat is like that trust is not incremental. If I really can't trust you to the full extent, then that's not trust. Maybe for us it is trust. Maybe for them who are capable of the fullest of trust, then maybe that's. For example, let's say bitochen in Hashem. Bitochen in Hashem. For them, if they could have. A billion times more bitochen than we have, and still be accused of not having bitochen. And for us, that would be Bali.
It's not about being accused, though. I don't understand it.
What?
Isn't it the whole idea that if you don't realize someone loves you so much, then you just you naturally just won't trust them? So what does it have to do with what's expected of you? It's just
no, but here the trust they should have trusted. They should have trusted. They Lemaisa Klal Yisrael should have trusted him.
Right.
It was a tefillah that they didn't trust him. Right. They should have trusted him. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that on their level, that it's considered as if they didn't have any trust. And he's saying the reason for that is because what dampens the trust to the extent that for them, since they were so great, it's considered almost as if they have no trust in me at all.
It says
but we know that when we talk about the others, Avraham Avinu said Bamor Eida. So Avraham was not Bikursis. Avraham Avinu was not, you know, denying or disputing Hashem, or not didn't believe in Hashem. Or we say Meshur, you know why Meshur Ben Aaron didn't go into Eretz Yisrael? The pasuk says Yan Loi Hemantem Bi, because he didn't believe in me. Lakdisheni Bamidbar. Oh. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael because he was a non-believer. He was a heretic. He was not being, well, okay to talk. Turns out on his level, there was something so lacking in the Musagei HaTorah that's considered as if he's Yan Lo Heman Tempi. So this is the way we have to look at the Ovis. This is the way in Slabotka, this is the way they looked at the Ovis. That on this, since they were on such a lofty level, that the slightest lack in that level, which for us would have been the greatest of mitzvahs, we'd be thrilled to be in their worst and lowliest level of whatever midah they were. But for them, that was, because I assume that that's a pshat over here. That what?
Other people learn differently?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to do it any other way because they were so great. So I don't know.
Why is it?
I'm not mechuyev to be able to. I don't know anything about anything else.
But other people do.
I'm very narrow-minded.
Like,
I don't know. What do we ask them? I don't, what do you want from me? I don't know about these things.
Well, we're great people. I'm saying other people.
I don't know. Listen, everybody's entitled to make mistakes. Uh-huh. Okay, listen. I don't know. Anyway,
isn't it like rigged against us? Like,
meaning
that they were in the generation. You know, like they did the smallest thing. They're. You can't Michelle.
Okay,
can't
so what's rigged against us?
So I'm saying the whole game is it's like Mashiach is like, it's so hard for him to come because now that we're on our level, it's like, I don't know what we need to do to bring Mashiach, but they on their level couldn't even bring Mashiach. Us, we're going to bring Mashiach.
Well, so
I'm saying like it's almost
so
like
two
Mashiach
things.
Never
so Chavetz Chaim says we're like a fly on top of an elephant. You hear? That is not the pshat. We're doing it on our own. But it's that after all the schusim that have gathered together and collaborated together in all the generations after 2,000 years of exile, now finally we added the little makib patish, the little end piece. So that's the way to look at that. But this is really a different discussion. Anyway, all right, I have to go. But the kids are so. But I think what we're saying here is one thing that's very important, and that is that the. In order to achieve the appropriate or the levels of bitochen in Hashem that we would be capable of achieving, let's just leave it that vaguely, okay, that we'd be capable of achieving, then a very critical factor in that ability is the realization of the fullest extent of Hashem's love. If we know Hashem loves us, but we're not aware of the fullest extent, as Moshe Rabbeinu said, he says, they're not sure how much that I'll do anything for them. That lack can cause the inability to have bitochen and Hashem altogether. It can. It's not even commensurate. The slight lack or some slight lack in the fullest appreciation of how much He loves us can have a negative impact to the extent
Is that logical?
It's logical to an extent. It's a little extreme in its psychology.
Let's say that I know somebody's got
to think trust is like a.
But for care, you need to be able to.
He could help me. Who cares if he loves
somebody? Because still love them.
What?
You could still love him, but you don't necessarily trust.
Without that love, we can't feel it. You can't feel it. Without
that's
and therefore anyway, Pekitsa. So what are we doing? We're making. So we're making a paid political announcement. Yeah, and that's why it's important to learn Shir Hashirim, because Shir Hashirim is about the nuances of love. It's another state. Some people could say, "Oh, it's too repetitious." Ani le doidi, le doidi li. Toidili vaniloi. Choyla sahava oni. Getting ukshen. Give me one, two, three. Say Hashem. I love Hashem and Hashem loves me. That's the end of the story.
Barney stuff.
What? Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. Because to the fullest extent, every realization of how far that love goes, it gives us the ability to feel more and more trust and put more and more trust in Hashem, which is the most critical ingredient in life. So that's basically
the message.
But also
the nuance is, like you're saying, there's parameters of what the love means. Every Rashi gives a different angle. Like, it's not so posh at what it...
Yeah, but we see it from different angles. You're right.
Right.
But it all adds up to the same thing. Okay, for example, what's the most dramatic example? Hosebi inaych mi negdi shehi mi rivuni. Hashem says, the Chosin says to the Kala, turn your eyes away from me because your beauty overwhelms me. I'm afraid I might lose myself. So Rashi says, in the first Beis HaMikdash, we had all the Orim, the Kapiris, the Kruvim, and it caused Hashem a Chibo Yesera. He had like uncontrollable, too much love. Ad Shema Altabi, until we rebel. Because Chibo Yesera causes, I guess, taken for granted and this, and then causes rebellion. Rebellion. In love too much, it's taken for granted, and then you don't appreciate it. And then he says, in the second Beis HaMikdash, I'm not going to allow you to have the Oren, the Kapuras, and the Kruvim, so it shouldn't cause me a Chibi Yaseira, and they cause you to rebel. What? You're afraid you can't control yourself? You mean you can't make a rock that you can't, you could make a rock that you can't pick up, but you can't control your love? What's going on over here? There it says, Chazal wanted us to understand that Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael is Kaviyochul, uncontrollable. When he sees us in the full spiritual glory, that love is not shaykh. It's, you know, and he would be afraid ad kedei kach that it would cause him to go beyond that which he knows is for the benefit of the people that he loves.
Who? Hashem? Or
Hashem, that's what it says.
Maybe it's, the people rebel. Maybe it means
No. Look inside, you'll see. We'll get there eventually at this rate. I don't know. But anyway, but yeah, imagine that. It's going to cause me to do a Chibo Yesera, which is going to cause the people that I love this Chibo Yesera to rebel against me. And I know that for the first place, I make this, not that Hashem needed the experience to know it from. And yet I'm afraid to do it again because I may not be able to do it. I may not be able to control myself. To control myself from what? From doing that Chibo, which I know is the most detrimental thing to them.
You know what would happen even though what? Even before
I did it. What's that? Yeah, of course. This is a Moshel Chazal want us to understand. Vivite, to what extent that love goes. But did you ever hear such an extent? That his love is so extensive to Klal Yisrael and so ki'ilu, kaviyochol, uncontrollable, that he's afraid that he might overdo it and cause them terrible consequences to the very one that he loves with that love which is so intense. So if you say, that's a big nuance, you know? And if you're... That's the extent of Hashem's love to Klal Yisrael. I can see trusting him myself.